In a world that's defined by change after change after change after change, it seems, when you look at it. And you can look back just a few years and you'll be looking back at a completely different world than the one that we have today. I hadn't been here a whole long time, but it certainly has changed drastically since I was born. So if you were to just look back 20 years, the entire face of the world has changed, and that's vastly been because of technology. 20 years ago, if you were taking a road trip, you would need two people in the car at least, one person driving and one person reading the map. That's why you have those little lights up there that's on the left side and on the right side. They're called map lights. If you look at them in your manual, and there's little slots in my car on either side, of the console on the front. They say that's where maps go. Well, there's nothing in there. Who needs it? Today, right now, you will probably need them at some point if all technology shuts down. But I don't know. There'd be a lot of people know how to read one of those things. 20 years ago, if you're going to have a cell phone, it was probably either as big as a skateboard, or it was in a bag as big as a woman's purse. Because they had cell phones 20 years ago, but they were humongous. And antennas, at least, a yard tall just to get, service that was out there. But of course, that today we have GPS systems that just tell us where to turn and tell us how long it's going to take us to get there and all of those things. I love it. Tells you where the restaurant's going to be. If you're riding down the road, you don't have to wonder where the gas station is or wonder where the hotel is. You can just say, hey, I want you to find the hotels within 10 miles of where I'm at and plot a course to go there. And it's wonderful, wonderful technology that we have there, but the world certainly has changed. 20 years ago, there was no such thing as high-speed internet. All right, you had some form of internet that none of us would even recognize what it is today. No high-speed internet, and with that, you had no YouTube. You had no Google. You had no Facebook, Pinterest, iTunes, none of those things like that. And 6 or 7 years ago, I remember that there was something that was more popular than Facebook called MySpace, okay? And people had MySpace pages, and they had all of their little, music on there. And I just remember, because I was teaching youth at that time, and they would have these little surveys over here. What was your favorite book? And I'd have kids that said, the Bible. And, who do you love the most? Jesus. And are you a Christian? And they would have all this stuff over here on the right-hand side of the page. But on the first, left-hand side, they had all of this trash over here with music and the different things that were on there. And I just blasted out my whole youth group one time because I pulled up their MySpace pages back here. And a lot of them were shocked by what they had there. But some people, they don't even have a clue what MySpace is, even though I think it's still out there somewhere. I think I may still have a page out there. But it's been a long time since I've been on it. But now, of course, as I said, in the place of those maps, you have GPS devices. And smartphones have changed the face of the planet because you don't need even a GPS device anymore. You just need your smartphone. They've replaced the maps, GPS devices, cameras, camcorders, voice recorders, computers, remote controls, board games, landline phones, and guess what? Even a flashlight. You don't even have to have a flashlight anymore. You can just hit the little button on your phone and you got your bright light that is out there. And all of that has certainly changed the world. And the most common question that I think people ask nowadays is, now what? What's going to come next? What is next? What's the world going to look like in a day or two? and it's just changing so quickly. But not only have we seen changes in technology and how that affects our lives, I think we've seen a change in the character and the morality of the population. There was a time in America where you didn't worry too much about contracts, signatures, and things like that because a person's word was their bond. A handshake meant those things. And if somebody broke their word, if they didn't honor that handshake or that nod that they gave you, that was a devastating thing to their character. It was a devastating thing to your reputation for you to be known as somebody that did not keep your word. Today, if you're known as somebody that keeps your word, you are really in a minority that is out there. Because I work in banks, and buddy, we have 85 pages that you got assigned to have a million words in there about how you're going to get sued to death if you don't keep your word because of all of the types of litigation that are out there and people not honoring their word anymore. There was a time in America when you didn't worry too much about your 11 or 12-year-olds getting hooked on drugs or getting pregnant. But you had to worry about that today, okay? There was a time when you were not constantly worried about terrorist attacks and the next beheading that you would see on the national news media from Islamic radical terrorists. The presidential candidates may not want to say that, but every one of them are radical Islamic terrorists, okay? You didn't see that before. There was a time in America where hard work was celebrated and lawlessness was punished. This is not the America that we live in today. Unfortunately, it's not. All of these things have changed. Hard work is not celebrated. Lawlessness is. But, you know, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying, and I like to say that a lot, because sometimes people sit back and you hadn't said anything and they've heard a lot. I'm not saying that change is bad. What I'm saying is we've seen a lot of change in our country and in our world that is bad. And change is not always bad. Cell phones are not inherently evil. I have one. I like it. I'm glad it's not as big as a skateboard anymore. It has a battery that's as heavy as this podium, you know, up here on it. I like all of those things. But with all of that change, I want to teach you something this morning. And we're going to look at what I think is a very, very, very important attribute of God. And we're going to talk about the immutability of God. And what that means. Somebody says, what in the world does immutability mean? God's unchanging character. We're going to look in those four passages of scriptures there, the verses that are out there. And immutability, simply as I'm saying here, means that you are unchanging, that you do not change. We all are mutable. It means that you are subject to change. Different things happen. The world certainly is mutable, but God is immutable. Praise the Lord, Eli, back there. All right. I get an amen from somebody. But let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 102, verses 24 through 28. It says, so I said, do not take me away, O my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. What the psalmist is saying right there is that all of these things that God has created will fade away, but he will remain. Just like with your clothes, at some point they fade away and they tear up and they get holes in all of them and you discard them and you throw them away, but you're still here, aren't you? But with God, he will always be here, no matter what things change, no matter what things get discarded, no matter what is not here anymore, and his years will remain through all the generations. See, there's a difference, and it is certainly separate what we see here on earth and what God is like. The earth is totally changing. It's always changing. Things are always changing. It's like we say in the banking business, the only constant thing is change, because it just happens. Constantly changing. God is not that way, all right? Even though the world won't seem to be that way. The world wants God, the God of the Old Testament, to be a different God in the New Testament, and they want the God that's in the New Testament to be a different God than the God we have today. And it's not true. He hasn't changed. He is immutable. He doesn't evolve in his thinking. He doesn't change his mind, even though you can read some scriptures, and I can teach you all day long about the 8 or 9 scriptures that are out there that people say, well, God changed his mind. And God does not change. He knows right now, that, and he's seen the end of the world. I'm not particularly sure he's going to do a lot of changing about stuff. It seems like it in the Bible when it looks like God is changing. It's kind of hard to put in human terms somebody who is immutable, somebody who doesn't change. It's kind of hard to put in human words somebody who is larger than life, who, how in the world do you even tell somebody about something or someone, a being, that is timeless? How do you even describe it? How do you even write about it? But what the psalmist is pretty clear about what he is saying here, and I think you need to get this distinction, because we want God to change with us, and I want you to know that I am so thankful that he doesn't change like the world changes. Amen. That he doesn't change like our political system changes or our morality line changes, because as I said before, and I happen to live in a neighborhood where it's not too, you know, fearful. I'm not too fearful of leaving, you know, my car unlocked or leaving my door unlocked. It's not a big deal for me at where I am, but I know that in America today, there used to be that time, as I said, when you would leave your windows open. And obviously there was theft then, there was killing then and all of that stuff, but not like it is today. Not as rampant and acceptable as it is today. So something's changed in America. And I'm glad that God doesn't change like that, because it seems like when we change, we always change for the worse. And if God is perfect, as we know he is, then there's nowhere you go from perfect. You don't get more perfect. And if you get any less, then you cease to be perfect. So there's no such thing. He is perfect. He doesn't need to change. Malachi 3:6. Let's take a look at that. I'm just saying this is pretty clear. Not a lot of commentary I got to give about this verse, but to read it. I actually don't even have hardly anything in my notes under this, because it's so plain. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Here he says pretty plain, this is God talking here, I do not change. There you go. Moving on. James 1, 16 through 18. I said there wasn't a lot to be said about it. James 1, 16 through 18. Be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. I love what verse 17 says there at the end, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now that's likened to when we say today that somebody changes like the wind, but you think how much a shadow changes. What can make a shadow change? I mean, think about that for just a moment. The direction that you're standing in accordance with the sun, where the sun is at in the sky, how you grow, your shadow changes from when you're as tall as Eli to you're as tall and round as I am today. Your shadow changes by you and what you do. So it's not just your shadow changes by outside and external things that are happening to the light hitting you, but how you are as well. So a shadow changes all the time, constantly. You see why I use such an analogy here? He is not changing like that. The world does that, but he is constant. And I want you to get that word, because immutability can be said that he is constant all the time. He is stable throughout the entire human history. You've seen that. When you look at verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. If you understood the historical context about this, which I'm trying to teach y'all to look at on Wednesday nights, the first fruits was the best of the best. It's the cream of the crop. It's the first things that you get. Not waiting till the end where it's just a little scraps there, but the first fruits. And he said that he had made us the first fruits. Now that's a promise. That's a promise right there. Last scripture that I want us to look at, and going back a couple of pages probably in your Bible, to Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 8. It says, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves are suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Okay, you hear that last verse right there in verse 8 quoted a lot. That he's the same. We always say, well, he's the same. We're talking here specifically about Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, in the past. He's the same today, in the present, and forever in the future. What's that mean? He doesn't change, folks. He's the same, all right? And I want you to understand what the author of Hebrews is saying here. If you go back up and you look at verse 5 here, he's quoting Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, and he says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. That's a promise. And if he promised it, even back as far as Deuteronomy, long time ago, and he's the same yesterday as he is today, does this promise hold true for us today? Can you take it to the bank that he's not going to leave you? He's not going to forsake you? You can. Look at the other quotation that he had coming from Psalm 118, 6 and 7. In verse 6, he says, so we say this with confidence because he told us he'll never leave us, because he told us that he'll never forsake us, we can say this right here with confidence. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Ask yourself that question. What can man do to you? Man can harm the body, but that's about as deep as they can get. And that may hurt you right now, but we have something greater later, all right? And that's why martyrs, you know, you have a lot of people that have given themselves as martyrs for the cause of Christ. In the Bible, outside of the Bible, happening today. All over this world, there are people that are being killed because they will not stand and say that they reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're going to do what God has called them to do. And those people are not, they may be afraid in that moment, but they know that there is something greater on the other side. They're not worried about that man is going to kill them, and that's going to be it. If that's your worry today, if you are worried about death, something's probably a matter. And let me say this, this is the reason. You may be worried about how you're going to die, because nobody wants to be slowly rolled over by a steamroller. Obviously, nobody wants to go through a death like that. But I'm saying, if you're just worried about this life ceasing to exist, I would be more than happy to go on over to the other side. Okay, I'm not scared about that at all. You can say, I want a quick one or whatever that kind of stuff may be, but to be scared of this life ending, all that means for us is even greater blessings, even greater promises that God told us. Jesus said, and I always, sometimes because of this play, I always want to say that he said it over here. And he really didn't. He said it way up in Israel, but we do the play up here. He said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself so that there you may be with me also. Isn't that a promise? And he's going to prepare a place. And I can guarantee you, if he's going to prepare a place, it's a good place. It's a wonderful place. It's a place that the book of Revelation tells us that there'll be no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, suffering, all of those things. Isn't that a wonderful place to be in? No more cell phones, hallelujah, because they're as great as they are. They're aggravating sometimes, too, because you know, they ring all the time and ding all the time and have some kind of notification, and I hate those little notifications. I had to get them off here, so I had to read everything that is out there, generally speaking. But you don't have to worry about all of that. So I ask you, why does all this matter about God doesn't change? What in the world? Why do I say that it's one of the best and most important attributes of God? Because I think in a world that is constantly changing, we need some constant. We need a rock We need something that's stable. We need something that doesn't change. And I don't want a God that tells me 2,000 years ago that he wants to save me, but yet he's going to renege on that and he's not going to do it 2,000 years later. I don't want somebody that's going to make a promise to me today and break it tomorrow. I don't want somebody to say that they're going to be a sustainer, but they're not there to sustain me when I need them. You may find people in your life today that they say they're going to be there. And we all say that we're going to be there at some point. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be there for you. That's easier said than done sometimes, though, isn't it? When it really, and because sometimes we don't know what we're saying when you say that, because sometimes it may mean at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it may mean that you got to get out of your comfort zone. And so I've always said the test to me, I have 488 or something like that friends on Facebook. Please, they need to change that. And some people have thousands, all right? A friend is somebody who's going to be there no matter what. No matter what. Now, what did Jesus call us? His friend, okay? And he is going to be there no matter what. And he's made you these promises. And I want you to understand that when the Bible says something and when God says something, I don't care if it was the first word in the Bible. Then the first five words are, in the beginning, God created. And that's the same. It's true today. It doesn't matter what science says about evolution or any of these other things. He's the same. He said it. And you can take it to the bank. So the promises that are in the Bible, and you won't know the promises that are in the Bible unless you read it. But when you read the Bible and you see the hope that is there, you will come out of the despair that this world brings to you. You will come out of it because it gives you hope. He makes covenant promises. He's made many covenants in the Bible and never broken one. We, on the other hand, don't pick up our end of the bargain, but he's made this new covenant with us that he's basically told us, I've sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you. And if you'll just simply believe, if you'll surrender to him, I make you this promise that I'll give you eternal life. Now, he made that promise 2,000, 15, 16 years ago, however it was, when John penned that in John 3:16. And it's the same promise to you today. But there's that if statement in there. He didn't say that he'd give it to you no matter what. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that believing is what Romans 10, 9 and 10 is saying. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. You've got to be able to do that. And there's so many people that are walking around, so many people in here today that you know people that have abandoned you. Just left you, gone. They forsook you. They forgot you. They didn't keep their word. They're not holding up to their end of the bargain. And you have built a wall up around you to where you don't want to let anybody else in because of that hurt that is there. But I can tell you the one person, the one being on the planet that you got to let in is God himself. And he is the one that he said he won't do it. He's never did it in 27 years of my life. And Miss Lois is down here. She's 101 going on 102, and she'll testify that he's never left her. He's never forsook her. He's kept his promises. He's been doing it for thousands of years of human history. And you've got to tear down that wall because of what the world, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do today, folks. He wants you to build up that wall to where you're so used to all this changing and all of these, you know, people that are treating you awful and these people that are not there for you and these people that are not there to sustain you. And he wants you to think that God is like that, that God is the one that's going to do that. And you kind of push God off to the side because you're thinking that he's like the world. He is not. He is 180 degrees different than the world. Praise his holy name. He is different. And that same power. Okay, and when I was writing my notes, I always get up about 6 o'clock in the morning and take all of my stuff and all of my books, and I write my notes on Sunday morning. That way it's fresh in my mind. And I was getting to the end, and I wrote that word, that same power. and it reminded me of a song by Jeremy Camp that I want to play right now. Can somebody hit those lights in the back for me? Yes, if you turn those off. Let's see if this will play.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. Singing out, we will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same same.